How's everyone doing this morning? You guys excited to be here today? I'm excited to be here in the house of God today because, well, it's been a while since I've done a teaching series. It's been a few months. And I was praying and I said, Lord, I want to do a teaching series, but I don't know exactly what I want to do it on. And I got to tell you that this is a brand new series that we're going to start today. And I'm going to explain to you a little later why this is the name of the series. But we're going to start this four-week series entitled Piece of Cake. So this series on Piece of Cake. How many of you love cake right here? You have cake, right? Well, let me explain to you why this series is coming about. You see, on Wednesday, we had this Bible study, and it was my job to bring some cake to the Bible study. And the entire time in the car ride, I was looking at this cake, and I wanted it so bad. But I couldn't have it because of a diet that I'm on, right? So I just couldn't do it. So I brought it over to the house in the Bible study, and here's the worst thing ever. Everyone but me, everyone in that Bible study had the cake. And then some. They had everything, right? And I was miserable. You couldn't see it in my face because I'm spiritual. But I was miserable because I kept looking at everyone just eating this cake. My whole time, that whole time in my mind, there was like the angel and the demon there. They were saying, listen, you know you want it, and just do it. Just take one. It's just one. But how many of you know it's not ever just one bite? It's always a whole thing. So I know I couldn't just have one. And the angel was saying, yes, you can. Just do it. And all this back and forth, and everyone is enjoying the cake but me. And as I'm watching everyone eat this cake, I got home thinking about this cake. And I kid you not, it was probably on Friday morning, I was still thinking about this cake. And I was thinking about this cake, and then I realized something. And this is where this whole series came about. I realized that even though I purchased the cake, even though I had the cake and I had access to the cake, I wasn't able to enjoy it. And I was watching everyone else enjoy it. And I was driving on Friday morning, and the thought came to me, and I believe it was from the Lord. I wonder how many people have God. They have the Lord in their lives. They have access to Him. But they're not enjoying His relationship. I believe you can have a relationship with Jesus and not have peace. And the worst thing is that I look at everyone else and say, man, I wonder why they have joy and why they have peace. They have the same God that I have. They serve the same Jesus that I do. But what is it that makes them have joy in life and not me? And I wonder how many people here at Ford or in this church or all other churches have a relationship with the Lord, and yet they're honest enough to say, I have no joy. I have no peace. So I started studying this in the Bible, and I realized that there's a lot of reasons why you could have God in your life and still experience no joy and no peace. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to learn why there is no peace and no joy in your life. I'm assuming that you have no joy in your life right now. Maybe you have a little bit. But see, God says that He came so that we may have joy and have it in abundance. And the Bible says that Jesus even proclaimed that He came to bring peace. But why is it that there are so many people that have lost peace and have lost joy, and they claim to have God? So are you guys ready to have a piece of cake for the next 4 weeks? And you're going to... It's going to be a huge blessing this week. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that you bless this service. Help us, Lord, to learn what it is that's going to give us the ultimate experience of joy and peace in our lives. And I ask that you bless this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. We're going to go to verse 17. And this is what the word of God says. He says, "But after Jehoiada's death, the leaders of Judah came and bowed before the king Joash. And they persuaded him to listen to their advice. They decided," now listen to this, "they decided to abandon the temple of the Lord, the God of their ancestors. And they worshiped Asherahs and idols instead. And because of this sin, divine anger fell on Judah and Jerusalem. Yet the Lord sent prophets to bring them back." Say that with me. Bring them back. Say it like you want to hear it. Say, there you go. "So God sent prophets to bring them back to Him." Because notice what God says here. They had God. They had the Lord. And yet they abandoned Him. They led them astray. So I want to ask you guys this morning. Could you be honest enough to say there are moments in your life you've strayed from God? Can we just show me your hands right now? Say, "Pastor, I've strayed from God a few times." Maybe you've strayed from God right now. Maybe it's the first time in a long time you've opened up the Word of God just because we're reading it here. Or it's the first time in a long time you've been in church. Or it's the first time in a long time you've actually prayed to God. See, all of us can relate to abandoning God for a season. And yet the Lord, the Bible says, sent prophets to bring them back to Him. The prophets warned them, but still the people would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, son of Jehoiada the priest. And he stood before the people and he said this. This is what God says. Look at this question. "Why do you disobey the Lord's commands and keep yourselves from what? Prospering." Notice what God asked. He says, "Why are you keeping yourself from prospering? You have abandoned the Lord, and now He has abandoned you." Did you guys catch that question? Their lives were not prospering. And that word prospering, or prosper in the Hebrew, is the word shalom. And the word shalom means peace, complete peace. So in other words, they had the Lord, they had God in their lives, but they were not experiencing any prosperity. They were not experiencing any peace. They had a lack in their lives. They felt like they weren't complete. And see, God asked them this divine question. Why do you keep yourself from prospering? Why are you keeping yourself from peace? You see, if you have no peace in your life, and it feels like something is missing, and there's a lack, we want to blame it on people. We want to blame it on the church. We want to blame it on our circumstances. But notice, who did God direct the question to? You. He said, "Why do you keep yourself from prospering?" See, if you're living a life that you're saying, "I have no peace," you only have yourself to blame. If you're saying, "I have no joy, I have no peace, I feel empty, I feel like there's a lack, and I don't understand why nothing's working out, why is it that my life isn't prospering, my finances isn't prospering, my marriage isn't prospering, everything around me is not prospering, what is it that's going wrong in your life?" And the answer, God says, the problem is you. The people had God in their lives. They went to the Lord's house. They went to the temple to pray. They went to give offerings. They looked like they had an awesome relationship with God, and yet there was no peace in their life. And the truth is that they abandoned God to worship idols. And this idol was named Asherah. And Asherah was the goddess of happiness. So do you understand that the people said, We're going to abandon God because we want to find happiness. And you think that's crazy, but that's the world that we're living in today. A lot of people are desperate and searching for happiness. And we want to be happy. We want to live happy. We want a happy life. And we try to search it. And we say, maybe if I had this job, I would be happy. Maybe if I had this relationship, I would be happy. If I got a raise, I would be happy. If I lived in this house, I would be happy. If I drove this car, I would be happy. If I wore these clothes, I would be happy. If I vacationed here, I would be happy. And everyone is thinking that this is what I need to find happiness. The people of God wanted to be happy. But here's the problem with happiness. God says that happiness is temporary. You see, God says, I don't give peace like the world gives peace. See, the world has a way of offering you happiness and peace. And it's in things that is temporary. So they say, if you lived here and if you did this and accomplished this and owned this and you did all these things, you will be happy. And you may be happy for a moment. But it goes away. And I see it all the time as a pastor. I've seen people that sat down with people saying, Pastor, that's it. I'm leaving my wife. Why? I'm not happy. I'm just not happy anymore. I'm leaving my job. I'm going to quit. Why? I'm just not happy there anymore. You see how happy-driven we are? We're willing to change things around just to find happiness. And most of the times you're going to realize when you made the changes and you have the happiness for a moment, it goes away. So we keep switching everything around, trying to find happiness. The people of God said, we're going to abandon God because we want to worship happiness. So everyone decided, let's go and get happy. Let's be happy. So they started living in sin to be happy. They started being compromised and living for happiness. And the more happiness they searched for, the more empty they felt. They weren't prospering. In fact, they were miserable. See, like me in that Bible study, these people said, we have God in our lives, but we're not enjoying it. We have God in our lives, but we have no peace. Do you know how many people have God in their lives? And they're not happy? And they're miserable? Here's the thing about cake. Cake is a symbol of celebration. We have wedding cakes, birthday cakes, anniversary cakes, all types of cakes to celebrate something. And I want to just offend you for a second. Can I offend you for a second? I believe some of you here, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you have a celebration with Him. And you come to church on Sundays and you celebrate. And you worship. And you do the routine. It's like singing happy birthday. And it goes for a day. You celebrate that person's day. And then you forget about it. So maybe Sunday is the day that you choose to celebrate God. But Monday through Saturday, you're miserable. There's no joy in your life. There's no peace. You're in bondage. You're in all this oppression. Does that make any sense to have God in your life and yet have no joy? The people went after happiness. The people wanted joy. They abandoned God to get it. And quickly found themselves empty and miserable. And God just had one question. Why are you keeping yourself from prospering? God was saying, listen, I can prosper you right now. I can bless you. I can give you joy. I can give you peace. I can give you everything you're looking for. But you're keeping yourself from it. Why? They weren't prospering. In the context of this story, the temple of God was a place where you worshiped. The temple of God was a place where you would show your relationship with the Lord. But the temple of God was in need of repair. It was damaged. And God told the people, you have to repair the temple of God. And the people were saying, okay, we're going to fix this temple. But then they just abandoned it. See, when I read that, I realized what God was saying to me was the reason you're not prospering is because instead of repairing your relationship with me, you're running to other things. See, a lot of times we don't realize this, but everything in our lives is broken because your relationship with God is broken. And everything around you is falling apart because the most important thing is your relationship with God, but you've neglected that. You've abandoned it. You got to understand what God says. If you're going to abandon me, I'm going to abandon you. So why does God say that? God's going to remind you that you need Him. So that when everything else begins to crumble, you realize you should have never turned from God. So God says, why do you keep yourself from prospering? Why have you neglected to repair the temple of God? Why have you chosen to live a life of sin and rebellion and idolatry? And it's sad because even though they were trying to fix the temple of God, they were still worshiping idols. Still trying to worship happiness. Still living in sin. So you know what they were telling God? We want both. We want you. That's why we're trying to get this temple in order. But Lord, we also want to compromise and live in sin. And here's what God was telling them. You can't have your cake and what? Eat it too. You ever heard that expression for cake? You can't have your cake and eat it too. And that's what we want with God. We want to have God. We want to experience His joy, His blessing, but we also want to pursue sin, rebellion, and the world. And we say, God, I want it both. That whole thing about having cake and eating it too, realizing that you cannot do both. It is impossible for me to have a cake and celebrate it, but not eat it. But if I eat the cake, I won't have it. You just can't do it. God says in His Word, you cannot have both. So the people are saying, God, we want both. We want to worship You and we want to worship the world. We want to worship God, but we want to worship sin. And God was clearly telling them by their lack of prospering that they could not have both. They needed to choose. And God says, I want you to repair your relationship with me. Let me ask you this question. I want you to think to yourself right now and ask yourself, what areas in your life are in need of repair? Can we all assume that there's something broken in our lives, at least one thing? I mean, who has it all together here? Can I see who? All right, good. What is it in your life
That needs repair. Is it your marriage? You're saying, Pastor, we're in need of repair. She needs to be the one to repair. She's messed up. Is it your relationships, your friendships in your life that you're saying it's broken, we're drifting apart? Is it your relationship with your family? Is that in need of repair? Is there someone in your life you're not speaking to right now, you can't forgive right now because the trust is broken? Is there a need of repair in your health? Physically, is there something in your body that needs repair? How many things in your life are in need of repair? We can look around our personal lives and at least identify with one area in your life you can say, this needs to be fixed. Whether it be a person's life, a relationship, a financial problem, a health issue, whatever it is, there's an area in your life that needs repair. If you're thinking about it right now and you can identify, show me your hand. Say, Pastor, I have one area in my life. All right, keep your hand up if there's two areas in your life. All right, three areas. Four, you need Jesus. Wow, okay, four. So you're saying, Pastor, there's an area in my life that needs repair. All right. What do I do about it? If it's broken, do I just pray and God fixes it? Can I tell you something? All the areas in your life that you can identify as being broken right now are broken because you're broken. And broken people break things. That's why we have broken marriages. Why? Because that marriage has two broken people together. You have a broken family. Why? Because that family is filled with broken people. You have broken finances because you are broken in how to handle your money. You see, in every area of your life that you can identify, this is broken, this is broken, this is broken, that's broken because you're broken. Maybe it's broken because you have a bad attitude. And your bad attitude breaks relationships. Maybe it's broken because you have a broken mindset and you're thinking wrong thoughts all the time. Maybe it's broken because you speak broken words because you have a broken mouth and you can't control what to say. Maybe you're miserable and it's broken because you have a broken view of seeing things. You see, everything in our lives is broken first because you are broken. And if you want to prosper in that area of brokenness, you not have to fix that area in your life. You need to fix what? Yourself. That's what God was trying to tell these people. God was saying, before I can fix your life and prosper you, I have to fix you. There's something wrong with you. Tell it to your neighbor right now. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, there's something wrong with you. You're broken. And say, speak to yourself. Go ahead, tell them. You're broken. We're all trying to blame each other for the brokenness in our lives. And we're saying, I'm broken because of how I was raised. I'm broken because of who I'm married to. I'm broken because of what I went through. And God is saying, you're broken because you're broken. And it's you. And before I can bless you and prosper you and fix your life, I have to fix you. Let me prove this to you. When Jesus meets this woman in the Bible, she had five men in her life. Five. Why? She was searching for happiness. She was going from relationship to relationship to relationship. And that might be you today. You're saying, Pastor, I relate to this woman. I'm just going from relationship from relationship. I'm just swiping and swiping and swiping. I go from one person to the next. I'm trying to find my soulmate. And I don't know what to do. Well, you can relate to her. This woman, she had it all wrong. She had all these relationships because she was searching for happiness. Jesus confronts her. He says, I know you have 5 men in your life. Don't you hate it when God just knows your dirty laundry? Just sees it? I know what you're doing. And he said it not to condemn her, but to fix her. And the second she realizes that she needed Jesus and she repents and she turns to him, she had joy in her life. Why? Because Jesus fixed her. You think about the woman with the issue of blood. You know, women have issues, right? This woman, the Bible says, she had issues for 12 years. She was bleeding for 12 years. And the Bible says that she went from doctor to doctor and she spent all her money and she wasted it all trying to fix it, because in her mind she says, if I can just fix this, I can be happy. And after she tried, she was broke, physically broken, financially still broken, and emotionally still broken, until she touched Jesus. Because God was showing her, you wasted 12 years of your life on the wrong thing, because the real problem was you. What about Solomon? Solomon had a great relationship with God. Solomon loved the Lord. Solomon would worship God. He would have all these sacrifices by the thousands. Do you remember when you were on fire for God and you just couldn't get enough of Him, and you were praying all the time and reading your Bible all the time and you were excited to go to church? That was Solomon. But the Bible says in time, Solomon loved women. He just loved the ladies. And the Bible says that with time, those women turned his heart away. Because women have that power over men. They can turn things around. Amen? And when Solomon spoke of it, in Songs of Solomon and all throughout the Bible, he would write these amazing poems and psalms. And the one thing Solomon noticed is what a waste of time happiness is. He said, everything is a waste. And he brags about it. He says, I had houses, I had money, I had relationships, I had vineyards. I was the richest person in the world. Whatever I wanted, I got. I wore the finest clothes. This is the guy to envy today. He had it all. And he says, and I was miserable. Because there is nothing like serving the Lord. You see, in the pursuit of happiness, all these people wanted the cake and they wanted to eat it. They wanted both God and the world. They wanted God and happiness. And God says, you can't have hope, you can't have happiness without me. Well, if you're here today, you say, well, Pastor, what are you saying? That I'm not happy because my relationship with God is broken? Absolutely. I'm not happy because I've abandoned God and I've strayed away, and that's why God has made me miserable. Yeah. What do I do to fix it? Pastor, I'll go to that altar right now and I'll pray with you and I'll be happy again, right? No. Because you realize one truth. My life is broken because I'm broken. You guys got that? There are three things I'm going to tell you quickly. If you want to find peace in your life again. But they're not easy. So don't kill the messenger. Number one, chapter 24, verse 4 through 5. God said, at one point, Joash decided to what? Repair and restore the temple. See, some of you are saying, I'm going to make that decision right now. I'm going to make these repairs with God so my life can be a blessing. Great. But look at verse 5. He summoned the priests and Levites, and he gave them these instructions. Go to all the towns of Judah and collect required annual offerings so that we can what? Repair the temple of your God. See, Joash said, we're tired of living this way, and here's the problem. We need to repair our relationship with God. And here's a real command, he says. Do not what? Delay. But the Levites did not act immediately. Number one, take notes. Write it down. Text a friend. But listen, number one, stop delaying the repair that God is trying to do in you. Stop delaying the repair. You see, they knew it was broken. But the Bible says they did not act on it. You know what's crazy? When I sit down with people that are coming to me because they're broken, they want counseling, they want the answers to fix their lives. Not one of them ever, since I've been a pastor for like, what, 8, 9 years now? Whatever. Not one time has someone ever told me, I don't know why my life is messed up. You know what's crazy about crazy people? They know exactly why their lives are the way it is. And they know what they have to do to fix it. It's like, I never understood someone that comes up to another person and says, hey, you've gained weight. You ever met someone like that? Oh, yeah. And that other person never responds, what? Really? I didn't know. You know when you've gained weight, but someone has the need to tell you, like, if you didn't know. Like, if it wasn't enough that the buttons on your pants are flying everywhere, and you're like, oh! You know. When you're overweight. We're like that with God. See, I don't have to sit here and tell you you're broken. I don't have to tell you your life is in need of repair. The problem with the church today is not the lack of knowledge, it's the lack of discipline and application to the Word of God. The problem with people in the church and why they have God and they're not enjoying a relationship with Him and they remain broken is because they know what's wrong with them. You know it's your attitude. You know it's your mindset. You know it's your selfishness. You know it's your sin. You know. Oh, I know. I hate when I tell people this is what's wrong. They go, I know. I know. Or you know, your husband's mad at you because you have a problem with your mouth and you just speak your mind. I know. Well, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about the knowledge you have over the areas in your life that are broken? If you know your attitude needs to be fixed, if you know you have to correct the way you speak, if you know you have to get rid of that relationship, if you know, knowing won't fix it. Knowing won't repair it. You got to act on it. But the people kept putting it off. And I know there's some of you here like that. You're like, next Sunday. You ever notice, I'm not going to point them out, they're in the room. But they're about to start a diet this week. And they're binging right now. Crazy. They went all out this whole weekend. I'm like, why are you eating all this? And you know what they tell me? I know. But I'm starting in next week, so I'm just... How many of you are next week Christians? Like, the next week, you know? Pastor, I know it's wrong. I know I shouldn't live like this. I know it's a sin, but hey, I'm going to do it later. Oh my goodness, there's people that say, I need to get it out of my system first. And there's so many people that keep putting off the areas in their life that are broken. And there are so many people that know why they're not prospering. They know why. You know why you're still single. You know why you have no money. You know why people don't like you. You know why you're unhealthy. You know why you're not prospering. And you know, and you know, and you know, but you're delaying it and delaying it and delaying it. And God says, when are you going to act? When are you going to act on what you know? Because James 4:17 says, a powerful verse to the church. Remember, it is a sin to what? To know what you ought to do and then not what? So God says, you know what your problem is? You know what you ought to do. But you don't do it. You know, but you don't act. You might know that you need to forgive that person. You might know that you need to start acting more humble. You know that you need to stop that sinner, and you know. But when you don't act on it, God says that sin remains. You might say, well, I know I need to spend more time with the Lord. I know I need to come back to church. I know. It amazes me how many of us know what the problem is and how to fix it. But we can't do it. And number two, it goes from not knowing and not doing to verse 7. Look at what verse 7 says. Over the years... But with time, the followers of the wicked Athaliah and broken into the temple. So notice, the followers of Athaliah just broke into the temple of God, and they had used all the dedicated things from the temple of the Lord to worship images of Baal. So here's what happens when you don't act on what you know. Number two, you begin to live in compromise. The Bible says that they broke into the temple of God. They got the things of God to worship Baal. You know what that's called? Mixed worship. And they started trying to get God to mix with their sin. Isn't that what's happening today in church? Isn't that what we're trying to tell God? Say, listen, God, I'm not completely abandoning you, but I just want to bring some things in. And I want you to be okay with it. So, hey, God, I'm still here with you, but I'm going to bring this sin in, and I want you to be okay with it. And I want to mix. And they started compromising and trying to get God to agree with this form of worship now. But 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16 says something profound. God says, what agreement is there between the temple of God and what? And idols. What agreement is there? We are the temple of the living God, as God said. God said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will bear their God, and they will be my people. You know what God says here? A powerful question. What agreement is there between me and your sin? Because we're trying to get God to agree with our sin. And we're trying to get God to say okay to what's not okay. So what do? God, I'm just going to mix it. I'm going to just bring it in and do both. I want to serve God and I want to serve Baal. So God, I want you to be okay with me having my cake and eating it too. See, when you begin to, number one, neglect what's broken in your life. whatever sin you identified with. There comes a point that you go from knowing it's wrong to just compromising with it. And you say, well, I know it's wrong, but it's not as bad as this, and you're compromising. I know it's wrong, but, you know, at least I'm not like this other person who's doing that. And I wonder how many of us are compromising right now with the things in our lives God wants out. And God says there's no agreement. So they go from delaying the repair to trying to compromise with God. And what's so sad is Matthew 6:24, God says, you cannot serve to what? You can't serve two masters. They say, well, why not, God? You will, not might, you will hate one, love the other. You might think that you can live in compromise and God's going to be okay. You might say, well, at least I'm in church today, so that makes it okay. Not with God. You can't compromise with God. We got to stop playing this compromising game with God. Because God says you will hate the other. You know, that word hate literally translates to abandon. And many of you think, well, I'll never abandon God. Yeah, you will. You keep living in compromise, there's going to come a point that you're just going to choose your sin altogether and abandon God. I see it all the time. It starts off with delaying their sin and not fixing it to compromising. You're compromising so much that you want to come to church and live in your sin. And you know what happens after a while? You stop coming to church altogether. Because it gets tiring to serve both masters. But I love what God says here. The Bible says in verse 18, we'll close with this verse. They decided to what? Abandon the temple of the Lord. You know what happened? Here are the stages. Stage one, delay. Oh, I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong. I know it's a sin. I know I have to change. I know I have to change. I know I have to change. How many of you know you have to change? Why are you delaying it? Oh, I know I need to quit. I know it's wrong, and you keep delaying. And then it goes from delaying to compromise. You go from, I know it's wrong, to, is it that bad? Can I just have both? And you compromise so much that you begin to feel so guilty that you say, you know what, I can't even go back to God anymore. The last thing on these people's mind, I guarantee, was there was going to come a point that they would abandon God. How many people I've seen as a pastor abandon the things of God? And I think, man, where was that person that used to serve? Where is that person that used to be on fire for God? Where is that person that was so passionate about the things of the Lord? And you know what happens? You can have the most passionate person for Jesus completely abandon him years later because it starts with delaying the repair to then compromising with it to ultimately just leaving God altogether. And you know what God says? I want to prosper you. I want to bless you. Stop trying to search for happiness and all these things and all these people. And God said here the most amazing thing in verse 19. The people were miserable. The people were living just with no peace and no joy. And God says he sent the prophets, the men of God, to speak the word, to warn them. To warn them. See, God warns you of the three stages. He wanted to warn them, you guys are delaying it, and before that, you're going to start compromising. And after you begin to compromise, there's going to come a day you're going to abandon me altogether. And God sent them to warn them. Why? Because the Bible says God wanted them back. You know that right here tonight, you may be in a place that you have abandoned God. You have backslidden. You have strayed. You have compromised. You have delayed. And right now, this very moment, God says, I want you back. I want that person that used to love me. I want that person that was so passionate for me. I want you back. Where is that person? It all started with, I know. I can tell you right now, you need to come back to God. You know what you're going to say? I know. I can tell you right now, hey, you know that's a sin. You can say, I know. I don't have to tell you. It's wrong. I know. You know. Your life is what it is because of what you are delaying. What you are compromising with. And don't you ever think that you will never get into a place where you leave God altogether. Because the Bible says a man should never think of himself as strong, lest he fall. So no, not me. I can live like this. I will never abandon God. I will never leave the church. That's what Peter said to Jesus. Peter was like, I'll never. They might. Judas, I mean, come on. See, Peter had a problem. He knew he was prideful. He delayed. Started compromising. You know how he was compromising? Because the Bible says he was sitting in the fire with those non-believers that wanted to kill the Christians. And he was, what are you doing there, Peter? See, God is saying right now to someone, what are you doing there? What are you doing with them? What are you doing with him and her? What are you doing? Well, I'm just here warming up in my compromise. But it came to a point that he couldn't even compromise anymore. Because he was telling the people, I don't know him. Because you have to be one way with the world and then one way with God. So in front of Jesus, I love you. I'll never leave you. And when he was with all his worldly buddies, oh, I'm not, nah, that's not me. That's not me, man. You know how crazy it is when you compromise that you have to be one way for someone else and one way for God, one way in the church, one way in the world, one way last night in the club, one way today at Forward. I'm living in compromise. And that gets so tiring that you're naturally going to say, God, I can't do it anymore. And then you have a choice. Are you going to run back to God or run away from Him altogether? You got to make the choice. Because you will go from delay to compromise and from compromise to complete rejection. So God says, I want to repair you. And then I'll prosper you. Because everything around you is broken. Because you're broken. It's like, suppose you wanted to start a garden. And you had a vision for this garden. You wanted to have cantaloupes and cucumbers and all these tomatoes. You wanted the most beautiful garden in Miami. And then you get all excited for this garden. You get ready for it. And you start off small. Let me start with this little garden first. You get these seeds that are, what is this? Cantaloupes. Awesome. You're all excited and you pour it. But nothing happens. And you get mad at the cantaloupe. Dumb cantaloupes didn't work. So then you go to the cucumbers. And you're going to plant your cucumbers. And you get mad at the cucumbers. Man, you're just like the cantaloupes. It didn't work. Come on, watermelon, don't fail me now. And the watermelon leaks out too. And you say, you're like everyone else. Nothing works. And you're getting frustrated. You're getting angry at the watermelon. You're mad at the cantaloupe. You can't stand it. So then you go to carrots. The packet even says, so easy.
and you go with your carrots and it leaks out. You can't manage that. I give up. I quit. I can't be a gardener. And the vision you had of your garden is just going away. And you call me and you say, Pastor David, I thought I could be a farmer, man. I thought I could have the most amazing garden. I visioned it. And I say, what happened? Where I went to go plant the cantaloupe, and I went to go plant the watermelon and the cucumber. I did everything you said. But it just keeps leaking out through the pot. And I tell you, the problem is not the cantaloupe. The problem is not the watermelon. The problem is that your pot needs to be repaired. And then you say, I know. But can I do it later? Because I want my garden now. Would you get mad at me if I say, are you crazy? Fix it now so that next time it will work. Because some of you, you have the vision. I want a best marriage. I want to raise godly kids. I want to prosper. I want to be blessed. God, I visioned my life and I want to be so on fire for you. And God says, that's great. And then you try to do it and it doesn't work. And what do? You want to blame the church. You want to blame your spouse. You want to blame your job. You want to blame the world. And it's because it's never you. And then God says, listen. I know you have a vision because I gave you that vision. And I know you want to prosper. You want things to flourish in your life. But before you can even begin to have every area of those lives flourish, you're broken. You got to fix it. Because inside all of us, there's a hole. There's this void. Because the Bible says that God asked the question, why do you keep yourself from prospering? That word prospering means complete peace. If there's something in your life that's not whole, that's not complete, it's because there's something in you that's damaged. And God says, I want to fix that in you so I can fix everything else. So you're either going to leave this service today and say, God, I know. You're going to get in your car and drive and say, man, what a message. I know I needed that. I know I needed to change. I know I need to stop this. I know I'm wrong. I know I need to do this and that and change that and this. What's knowing going to do for you? You're not willing to act on it. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want you to live a life like I did on Wednesday night. I don't want you to look at everyone else and say, man, why do they have joy and I don't? Why does it look like they're enjoying their relationship with God and I'm not? We have the same cake, don't we? I want you to close your eyes right now. And I want you right now. Let's complete this message by asking you. Number one, imagine now, like you did earlier, what area in your life needs repair. And you're saying, Lord, I know. You show God your hands right now and say, Pastor, I know what needs repairing me. And God is asking you right now, why are you delaying it? So you might have to leave this church today and make the changes right now. You might have to delete some numbers, block some people from social media. You might have to change some jobs. I don't know what God's going to lead you to do, but God is saying right now, you need to act on it now. Stop with the I know. Start doing. Stop with the compromise. God is trying to reach into you to fix you so that everything else in your life can be fixed. So I want you to imagine right now that area in your life that's broken. What is it? Just picture it. What is it that has you broken? What is it that's breaking your marriage, your family, your health? Your emotional state, what is it? All of us have something in our lives that's broken. Now I want you to have this vision of it being fixed right now. What do you see? What does it look like to have that area of your life broken no more? Just like that garden, you see it prospering. You see it flourishing. Whatever you're visioning right now can happen when you learn to put God first again in your life. Stop blaming your parents. Stop blaming society. Stop blaming the government. Stop blaming the world. Stop pointing the finger at God. Stop blaming everyone around you. And own up that you're broken because of you. And your life is what it is today because your relationship with God is in need of desperate repair. And when you fix that relationship with God, everything else will be taken care of by Him. That's why God said, I want you back. Because before you can do anything, you need to get back with God. Well, this is you today. You're saying, Pastor, I know I'm wrong. I know I'm the reason for the lack of prosperity in my life. I know I've been compromising, wanting to have my cake and eat it too. Maybe you're a person that's saying, Pastor, I know that I've compromised and now I've completely abandoned God. I used to be in love with the Lord. I used to be passionate about the Lord. But I can't even remember the last time I felt close to God. Right now, God wants you back. Stop saying to yourself, oh, but I've messed up too much. I've gone too far. God wants you back right now. Well, this is you. I want to pray with you right now. You're saying, Pastor, what do I do to have God repair what's broken in me? First and foremost, get back with the Lord by repenting of your sin. The word repent means to have a change of mind that causes you to turn. Turn back to God. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I want to do that, you show me your hands right now. There's no embarrassment. Every eye is closed. Every eye, God bless you. God bless you all around the room today. You're tired of living in compromise. Just say right now, Father, forgive me. I repent of my pride, my sin, my selfishness. I'm broken. You tell God right now, I'm broken. That's why everything around me is broken. Everything I touch breaks. And Lord, I need repair. Well, say it from your heart. Say, Lord, coming back to you, I messed up. I broke a lot of families, a lot of relationships. I broke my life apart. But God right now is saying, I want you back. Are you done compromising? Are you done feeling broken and breaking everything else? Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to pray today for everyone. And as Frankie worships one last time, I want to invite you to this altar. If you're saying, Pastor, you're saying, God, I'm tired of the seeds falling. I'm tired of not seeing the growth. I'm tired of not seeing the change. I'm tired of the knowledge of what's wrong, but not the application of what I need to do to fix it. But I want to prosper. God can prosper any area of your life, but you need to come back to Him. So as Frankie sings this song, we worship and close this service. Whoever you are, wherever you're coming from right now, you come to this altar right now. Come on. Come on. Man, give God some praise today.